Okay, what's the number one reason you should try Instacart? Shopping over 1.5 million unique products from over 1,000 retailers and get everything delivered right to your door in as fast as 1 hour, all in one app. So you can spend more time with the ones who matter most. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
So, what are you thinking for lunch?
I can't. I'm getting new window treatments. So I gotta go home and wait around all afternoon for a design consultation just to get a quote. It's gonna totally mess up my workday.
Why don't you just go to Blinds.com?
Because I need custom products.
Blinds.com products are made to order and totally customizable. And you get upfront pricing right on their website to easily get your quote online.
But I wanna see the products in person.
Blinds.com ships samples to you fast and free. They can even verify your measurements and handle the installation.
Wow, how convenient. Tell me more.
Blinds.com also has a huge selection of stylish shutters, shades, curtains, and options for motorization, even for your patio. Plus, their 100% satisfaction guarantee.
Well, you've convinced me. Let's go eat. I've got time now.
Shop Blinds.com and save 40% on selected products. Plus, doorbusters for their Earth Day sale. 40% off selected products right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I knew this was going to happen. I knew we were going to have some sniping hockey fans in response to our question. I don't care. He's old. That was the assessment Dylan Brooks made of LeBron James. Now, he also said he pokes the bear and doesn't give guys respect until they drop 40 on him. Oh, did someone say LeBron James and 40 in the same sentence? And no, we're not referring to his age. I would not be surprised if LeBron decided he would not pass the basketball in game number three in front of his own fans there in LA and decided that he, come hell or high water, was going to teach Dylan Brooks a thing or two about dropping 40.
Not two, not three, not four,
nope.
Not five.
40, not five, but 40. So be careful what you wish for, Dylan Brooks. But ultimately, I can't help it. I don't care. He's old. Who else does this phrase apply to in sports?
I don't care. He's old.
Jay's got a couple of good ones already in Julio Jones and Matt Ryan, which is kind of a cheap shot, to be fair.
I didn't realize that he was going to the booth. I thought he was still trying to get a job as a free agent. I did, so that's on me.
Where's Matt Ryan going to the booth?
I thought I just read that he's doing something with the Falcons, like their pregame.
So that's it? He's done? He retired?
I don't know. I can't confirm that. But
huh.
Yeah, I thought he was still looking for a job. Apparently Marco said no, but so I looked it up. But
so I thought of in the NBA, because the San Antonio Spurs haven't been relevant lately, Greg Popovich. I don't care. He's old. Is that disrespectful?
I don't care. He's old.
He definitely is a Hall of Famer. It seems like the Spurs have fallen off the map. Like they've disappeared. And it's partly because of the personnel decisions. They've gone through so many iterations of this lineup. Ezekiel Elliott, I don't care. He's old.
I don't care. He's old.
Jerry Jones, I don't care. He's old.
Get this box.
Please, we could go on and on in this particular category, but I want to hear from you. I knew this was going to happen, though, with sniping hockey fans. I just saw the first one on our Facebook page. Because the Washington Capitals do not make the Stanley Cup playoffs this year, we're going to get Alexander Ovechkin answers. I don't care. He's old.
Yeah!
Jay is a New York Rangers fan, which means by law, he has to despise the Pittsburgh Penguins. I'm thinking this might be the only time you get to say about Sidney Crosby, I don't care. He's old.
I'm not counting out Sidney Crosby just yet. But
no, but now season, you could say it.
I don't care. He's old.
I don't
for
care.
Right now, him, Malcolm Letang, yeah, you're old.
I don't care. You're all old. The whole lot of you, you're old, and you're watching the postseason from your living rooms or maybe from your own countries, and you're not even here anymore. That's it. I don't care. We don't care, though. You're old. I knew there were going to be hockey fans who said that.
What's up, buds?
Yeah, actually, something else I thought of, only because I was watching this earlier. Marc-Andre Fleury. See if I remember this correctly. He is third among goaltenders in terms of career playoff starts. But do you know what the Dallas Stars said to him? Jay, what do they say to him?
I don't care. He's old.
I don't care. He's old. Marc-Andre Fleury starting in the pipes, in between the pipes for the Minnesota Wild tonight in Dallas. 7 goals surrendered. They don't care. He's old.
I don't care. He's old.
Yeah. Faced 31 shots. Gave up 7 goals. And yeah, 38 years old. The Stars don't care. The Stars definitely do not care. It was just game 2. Series is tied, so no big thing yet. As I look up, I'm seeing Dylan Brooks again. I think he was in some kind of a tweed plaid shirt with sunglasses on in the locker room, of course. How old is Dylan Brooks? I don't care. He's old.
Dylan's 27.
All right, he's not that old. He has done well against LeBron James to this point, giving up just 18 points to LeBron when he's actually guarding him. So obviously LeBron's had more than the 18 in the 2 games, but when Dylan's matched up on him, he's right now getting the best of LeBron. But that momentum could be fleeting, let's be fair. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Great to have you with us. Thanks so much for hanging out. We've put that post up about being old on our Twitter, After Hours CBS, and also on my Twitter, A-Law Radio. And then if you're looking to see John Conchar reject Anthony Davis, I mean, at the rim, hand up in the air at the perfect time, big palm on the ball. This was headed for a highlight reel, for a monstrous dunk, a thunderous dunk, not John Conchar, who gives up, what, 6-7 inches to Anthony Davis and just timed his leap perfectly. You've got to see it. We found the video from NBA TV. So that's on our show Twitter as well, After Hours CBS. And then also on our, I think I said Facebook, but on our Facebook page, 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. So Darvin Ham, what happened in this game 2 against the Grizz?
I think we came out a little bit lethargic in that first quarter. A little irresponsible with the ball, some unforced errors. I think in the first quarter we had 5 turnovers that gave them in turn 10 points. But from that point on, you know, I thought we clawed and scratched and we fought. Obviously, we wish we could have got this one as well, but that's a hell of a team over there, really highly competitive ball club. I said it before the game, it's the reason why they are who they are, with or without Ja. Still a huge storage full of talent. And guys that play the right way, play hard, and play together.
So Darvin Ham and the Lakers head back to L.A. with a 1-1 series tie. That's what you're looking for, right? LeBron James, ever the philosopher, because he is slightly older, has 28-12. But you know what jumped out at me? And I don't always look at the plus-minus number. In fact, a lot of times I couldn't care less about plus-minus. But he was the only guy in the starting lineup who had a severe plus-minus number that I couldn't ignore. So here are the numbers for the Lakers in their starting lineup, their plus-minus numbers. Anthony Davis, -4. And this the plus-minus number is about the team. So your team, when you're on the court, how many points better they are than the other team when you're on the court. Okay, so it's a team game. Like I say, I don't pay a lot of attention to plus minus numbers only because it's not individual, but it does maybe give you an indication of that player's role and how the team is operating with him on the court at the time. But again, it's hard to slap a plus minus number on one player in a team sport and say it's his fault. But generally, you don't have this kind of a severe plus-minus number with LeBron James. So get this. Anthony Davis, -4. D'Angelo Russell, +1. Austin Reeves -4. The other starter for the Lakers tonight, Jared Vanderbilt +8. And then LeBron James -17. Isn't that weird? He was on the court when the Grizzlies were making that run that put them up by 17 in the first half, the second quarter. But yeah, that kind of jumped out at me. Not saying it's his fault, just it wasn't working tonight. However, he gets 28, 12 rebounds, completely unconcerned.
I don't need to be a discussion. I mean, at the end of the day, we understand what a series is all about. I mean, it's not the first to one win or two, it's the first to four. And you got to prepare each and every game. Every game is its own entity, so you got to prepare for that challenge. And you know, I feel like we was prepared tonight. We just didn't execute as well as we did in game one for close to 48 minutes. So they made adjustments. We made some adjustments. And, you know, you tip your hat to them. They played a well of a game tonight.
I don't care. He's old.
I don't care. He's old.
Dylan Brooks, you're playing with fire, my friend. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, the game we did not get to. Also in the Western Conference, the Timberwolves and the Nuggets. Now, in this particular series, the Nuggets are trying to take a 2-0 lead, but we know that the Nuggets, right now anyway, don't appear to have that big, bad swagger of a top seed. Remember, they limped to the finish line at the end of the regular season. And while they do have the benefit of the home court and of being that top seed, so they're playing the lower seed remaining from the play-in tournament, I don't love what I've seen from the Nuggets over the last month. And I can imagine the fans are slightly nervous about the Nuggets. It seemed like every time the Timberwolves would make a run, the crowd would get nervous in the Mile High City on Wednesday night. And the Timberwolves, they don't go away without a fight ever.
Now Towns with it. 10 to shoot. Zips it to Kyle Anderson left side. Off of Towns screen. Anderson switched on to Jeff Green. Now Edwards up top. Catch and shoot three. He drains it. And the Timberwolves are within one. 32 for Anthony Edwards. And with it isolated right side. Bangs away with Bruce Brown. Spin move baseline. Fall away jumper. Oh, that's clutch from Anthony Edwards. The Timberwolves take the lead. 99-98. 10-3 Timberwolves run. They lead it with 6:45 left to play. Big time shot from Ant. He's up to 34.
Murray head fake up under. Kick out three-pointer. Yeah! 11 in the period for Michael Porter Jr. 101-99 Denver. Porter's got 11 points in the fourth quarter. Porter top of the key over to Nikola Jokic. Down low, alley-oop. Got two hands, Aaron Gordon. Great play. Jokic has it. Dribble handoff over to Porter. Turns the corner. Jumper. Yeah! Drive Michael Porter Jr. 13 in the fourth quarter. 108-101. Jamal Murray across the timeline. Gets a pick from Jokic. Gets down the lane. Stops. Eight-footer. Got it again! Jamal Murray! 37 points in game number two! Denver leads it by 10! Timeout, Minnesota!
This is the Jamal Murray we've been waiting for several years. Since he had that torn ACL, it took him a season to get back. This is the guy. Do you remember? Was it his rookie season or his second year, Jay, when he came out and made a massive splash in the postseason? And was it the bubble? I don't remember if it was the bubble. I think it was the year before that, so maybe 19. But I'll go back and check because sometimes my dates run together. This is the guy that we have been waiting for. He and Donovan Mitchell, if I remember correctly, it was the first time we'd seen these two guys, not together, obviously, but first time we'd seen these two guys on the playoff stage, and they were dynamic. And I remember thinking at the time, man alive, the Western Conference is in good hands if we get this type of production from two young, dynamic guards. And so I'm looking at it, and I'm trying to figure out which year. Was it with the bubble? Are you sure?
I think it was the bubble because I'm lurking at his stats and Bubble Murray. It was an unstoppable force. He averaged 26.5 a game, 4.8 rebounds, and 6.6 assists in the bubble.
That's right, because then the very next season was when he tore his ACL.
Correct.
That's right. Okay, so that was why it was such a disappointment, is because he was so good and then he got hurt. Yeah, he crushed it. It was just his second playoff season, and it became very evident that he has all the tools that you need. I remember, now I can't remember the playoff series because that feels like forever and ever ago. But he and Donovan Mitchell, as I say, at the same time, were putting on a show that made you think the future is bright for these Western Conference guards, even as Steph Curry gets old. No, don't say it. Don't say it. Steph may be old, but he is definitely not irrelevant. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio.
So and then old man Andre.
Well, Andre Iguodala is old. So Jamal Murray ends up with 40 points and a couple of huge shots, clutch shots in the fourth quarter.
You know, that game was back and forth in that fourth quarter, and he was just making big play after big play. We got him and Nikola in two-man action, and Jamal did the rest. So great performance, but our job is far from over. We have we'll watch the film, see what went wrong in that third quarter, and head up to Minnesota, try to get another one.
I think we knew what we had to do. I think they're playing hard. They're fighting. I just think we countered and we played hard. No, we expended the same amount of energy trying to win the game. So it was a good battle. It was fun. And like I said, it was just good to see us handle the adversity and come out with a win.
Jamal Murray, 40 in this one. Anthony Edwards had 41, actually. And here are his Minnesota Timberwolves, who, as they fight and scratch and claw, still find themselves in a 2-0 hole.
We just got to be able to maintain. Like, we can't wait till we go down 20 or 15 or, you know what I'm saying, in the first half, then try to figure out how to get back in the game. We got to, if we found something tonight, we got to stick with it. First quarter, first 3-4 minutes of the game, we got to come out with the same that we did in the second half.
So that's Anthony Edwards. At times, he had no trouble. It seemed like there was zero resistance in him getting to the rim. Just really good stuff from both Anthony Edwards and Jamal Murray, but ultimately the Nuggets have more. They have enough. They have more. Nikola Jokic did not have a triple-double, but he was just shy. 27 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists, and Denver is up 2-0. Also worth mentioning, I think you heard it with Jason Kosmicki in Denver on Denver Radio, and then Alan Horton before that on Timberwolves Radio. Michael Porter Jr., he had most of his points in the fourth quarter, so he was also really critical for the Nuggets holding off the Timberwolves. But they had come back to tie, so a couple of times this was a tie game late. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. What do I want to do? Straight ahead. You know what? Why don't we hear from the Warriors? Because they were speaking for the first time since Draymond Green was saddled with the 1-game suspension. He will miss the third game, first one back at Chase Center, as the Warriors attempt to stave off the elimination at the hands of the Sacramento Kings, but already in an 0-2 hole. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. I hope you survived your Monday, your hump day. Monday. Oh, my gosh. Yes, I hope you survived your Monday and your Tuesday, as well as your hump day. It's the kind of week it is where everything's kind of blending together for me. And as I say, we'll make this one easy peasy. We got so much to do. Still want to hear from Tua Tagovailoa. We've got some other QB news as well. And then Shohei Ohtani, Aaron Judge in the Bronx. What happened to the Bruins on Wednesday night? They're actually ticked off at themselves. All that is still to
come. I'm JR of the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. I'm also the host of the new podcast, Agents of Inclusion. We talk to a different Special Olympics athlete every week to learn how sports can bring us together.
We're bringing both the disability and non-disability community to one community. All one people, one family.
Took me a little while,
but I decided to claim autism as my superpower. When you hear the word autism, don't let that hinder you from doing whatever it is that you want to do.
That's what Special Olympics tells you. You get involved in sport, but then you take it from the playing field out into real life.
Family means to me community, acceptance, love, embracing a person just as they are. That's what Special Olympics did for me.
It's all about family. Subscribe to Agents of Inclusion on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Come here on After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Here is Monk with a shovel shot that doesn't go on the right side. Rebound, Draymond gets away, and it's a technical foul on Draymond Green for stomping Sabonis as he tried to get out of the way up the floor. And Draymond might get a flagrant foul and get ejected here. Sabonis still down.
The explanation was I stumped too hard.
How hard was that impact? Were you surprised that he was on the ground for that long?
No, I wasn't surprised that he stayed down that long. It was Monk last game, right on the baseline under the rim. So either you're going to stop it. John Goble was looking at Monk hold my leg the last game, and he just let it go. And Zach clearly was watching my leg get held this game and let it go. So I guess ankle grabbing is okay.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I guess ankle grabbing is okay, but definitely stomping on someone's chest when you're a repeat offender, you have a rap sheet and a rep. That's not okay. Also, as it turns out, the NBA was less than thrilled with the way that Draymond responded in the immediate aftermath. So when he was still there in the arena, he was taunting fans. Now, the fans were taunting him, too, but he's dancing around the court. He's clapping. He's kind of up and down and all around and didn't seem to show any remorse or care for what could potentially be happening with a flagrant two and an automatic ejection. And so the NBA didn't love that either, that it seemed like he had taken this extreme action of stomping on the chest of DeMontis Sabonis, and then as they're determining his fate, he's dancing around like he's just won another NBA championship. NBA didn't take kindly to any of that. And because of it, primarily because he's a repeat offender, he ends up with a one-game suspension. Now, the Warriors have suspended him before. We talked about this last night. Going back to this whole altercation with Kevin Durant, that was in 2018. And he and KD got into a shouting match about KD's future. The whole team was upset.
He's an idiot.
And the Warriors suspended him for one game without pay for, quote, conduct detrimental to the team. Then earlier this season, well, actually going back to preseason, he was away from the team because he punched teammate Jordan Poole during practice. And so no one is pretending like Draymond Green is a perfect angel. But I do appreciate that the Warriors aren't asking him to change. Now, he did practice Wednesday and apparently addressed the team. The Warriors wouldn't talk about what he said or what they said to him. But Bob Myers, the general manager, doesn't want this to be about Draymond. He actually said in practice, they were focusing on game number three and not about Dre. I love what Bob Myers said. Winning is messy, if you want to be honest about it. There's an edginess to it. There's a tension. Certainly he's crossed that line, but he has been punished for it. Draymond is not perfect. But I haven't met anyone who is perfect. He's been a big part of a lot of the winning.
The league texted me the night of and said, if we need to talk to you, we'll let you know. And that they needed to speak to Draymond. And they didn't need to talk to me. And so they told me last night, they called me and said he's suspended, which, you know, in their defense, what do they care what I have to say? I mean, they know what I'm going to say. So they don't need me to make the decision. So as far as how we felt, you know, we've been here before and we got to play a game tomorrow night. Once these decisions are made, there's no appellate court. It's over. So you can react however you want to react, but it doesn't change the fact he's not playing and we got a game tomorrow night.
He's the ultimate competitor. He's the ultimate warrior, winner, whatever, however you want to call him, you know, a champion. And everybody knows he's going to occasionally, tip over the edge and his emotions get the best of him, and that's part of it. But there's no stopping, you know, Draymond. You're not going to be able to put your arm around him and calm him down and say, okay, let's move forward from here. It doesn't work that way. But like I said, it's okay. We accept Draymond for who he is and what he stands for and his competitiveness and his fire, because we frankly feed on that, and that's what helps us win.
I thought that was an interesting revelation from Steve Kerr, that once Draymond gets essentially a full head of steam, there's no way to calm him down. And that's not a positive. That's not a compliment from Steve Kerr. But Steve knows. It is what it is. He and Draymond have had their own famous arguments on the sidelines or in locker rooms. We've heard of these before. The media's reported it, but we've seen some of them right there on the court when they go at each other. Steve Kerr's also very fiery, thus the broken clipboards. But he handpicked Draymond as the guy who should be the centerpiece of their defense, number one, but also, as I say, the main cog in the wheel when it comes to moving the ball around. He trusts Draymond. And certainly at times, that fire, that spirit, that energy that Steve Kerr encourages comes back to bite them in the ass. Or more specifically, comes back to bite Draymond in the ass, and then by proxy affects the team. But I did think, I'd not heard Steve say that before, that when Draymond gets like this, your efforts to calm him down, to put an arm around him, ridiculous. And it's interesting because I wondered that, for those of you who haven't seen the video, as Draymond is Draymond and the Warriors are awaiting the ruling by the officials on, was it Monday night? Monday night in this game, right? Because I was in Syracuse. They're waiting on the ruling by the officials. Draymond is dancing around. He's pointing at the crowd. He's got his handcuffed to his ear. He's yapping with people. And at some point, he's walking right by the referees, clapping really loudly and obnoxiously. And I wondered at the time, why don't any of his teammates tell him to park it? Zip it and park it. But what Steve Kerr is saying, you really can't do that. There's no way. It's not going to work with Draymond. I thought that was really interesting. I hadn't heard that from Steve. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Now, Steve also goes on to say that the Warriors are not the same team without Draymond, which is why they put up with it.
Draymond is incredibly competitive and passionate and fiery, and he's, you know, helped us win 4 championships. I've said it many times, we don't have a single championship here without Draymond Green.
Amazing.
That's the truth. So he's crossed the line over the years, and that's part of it. You know, it's we will go to bat for Draymond and go to battle with him every day of the week.
No backing down for Steve Kerr. Is he being honest? Are he and Bob Myers both saying the same thing? Yeah, of course this stinks. And Draymond crossed the line, and he's done it before. It's probably not going to be the last time. But man alive, do I want someone in my corner like Steve Kerr who says, We don't have a single championship without Draymond Green. That's the truth. We don't win any of them without Dre. I mean, that's the type of relationship that you would expect with family, right? I say very often about my family and my best friends, they know everything about me and they love me anyway. And that's the thing with Dre. All of his warts, all of his weaknesses, of course they're exposed. He's been together with this core and with this coaching staff for a long time. They know everything there is to know about each other. And Dre's mistakes very often are public and they're right out there for everyone to see and to hear and to break down. And yet, the team is backing him. We'll go to bat for him and we'll go to battle with him every day of the week. Seriously, I need a Steve Kerr in my corner. Marco Belletti, will you be like Steve Kerr in my corner?
I guess. I got to be honest. I take that differently than you do, which Steve Kerr said. I don't feel like it's backing. I think it's we need Draymond Green to win, so we put up with it. But the second that we don't need him to win, I can't wait to get rid of him.
He didn't say that.
That's what it feels like. That's what I heard from Steve Kerr. Huh. I'm so sick and tired of all this nonsense because he crosses the line and it hurts us. However, he's really good and we wouldn't have a title without him, which is why we put up with it.
No way.
That's what it felt like.
But his tone of voice was not anything like that.
That's what I took out of it. That was what I mean. I'm reading between lines. I realize that's what I felt like.
Huh.
So I that to me doesn't feel like a guy that's in your corner. That's a I'm in your corner because I have no choice, but I have to be in your corner.
Sure, he has a choice. There's always a choice.
There's a choice if he doesn't want to win. He's putting up with Draymond Green because he's good.
There was no part of that that said he's putting up with it.
That's what it felt like.
Interesting.
That's what it felt like.
Okay. All right. Well, we, on that note, Marco and I definitely do not agree there, but that's okay. I like differing opinions. Speaking of opinions, we're asking you, other than Dylan Brooks telling LeBron James, I don't care, he's old, what other athletes in pro sports right now could use a little comeuppance with the, I don't care, you're old. Actually, some of the answers we've already gotten. Are you ready?
Waiting for Steve Kerr to say the Draymond Green when at the end, I don't care, you're old, get out.
No, what he said was, we don't win a single championship without him.
Right.
I don't know how you got that out of that.
Again, we disagree.
Steve never holds back on how he feels. He's not masking here.
It felt like I'm tired. I can't handle it. Whenever he goes forward, you know what? We don't even let him go because I can't do anything about it. I can't put an arm around his shoulder. I can't rein him back in. I can't do anything. When he crosses the line, he crosses the line.
What about what he just said? We'd go to bat for him and we'll go to battle with him every day of the week.
Right. Because he can win, which
yeah,
is why we deal with this.
He doesn't have to say that, yeah, though.
He's adding it in. But I think, for me, it felt like all the other stuff that he was saying was Draymond Green constantly crosses the line. There's nothing I can do about it.
He didn't say constantly. He said he sometimes crosses the line.
Again.
He doesn't constantly cross the line.
He teeters on that line quite a bit.
But that's the point.
And I think everybody, the reason why nobody went there, all that stuff that you were talking about, Draymond Green's by himself, clapping and jawing at the crowd. Not one teammate, not one coach, no one went near him. And I think everyone to a man on that team, what it felt like was, no matter what we say, he's going to do whatever the hell he wants. I think they're tired of it. They deal with it because he helps them win. If that was something where
but
they
how
actually...
how do you know that? You're...
Again, I'm reading between the lines. That's what I feel. That's what I think when I look at
so
it.
So you won't just take it for face value what he said?
No.
Feel like Steve Kerr is pretty open about how he feels. When his team needs to be ripped, he rips them.
And something like that. He needed to bring Draymond Green in at this point, and he didn't. When he was on the floor, when he was doing all that stuff,
maybe
everyone knows.
He doesn't think he needs to be reined in.
Really? And he wound up with a suspension. He knew all that extra garbage that he was doing on the sideline was going to cost him. Everyone knew it. We all watched it. And everybody to a man, as we're watching it.
Why didn't he say that?
Why didn't he say it? Well, you can't throw him out.
Sure you can.
He still needs him on the team. When he's gone and we sit down with him and then we do the whatever, maybe he opens up. I doubt it because nobody ever actually tells you exactly what they're feeling. He likes Draymond Green. He knows that he can win with Draymond Green. He knows that Draymond Green's going to give him everything he's got with effort. He's also sick and tired of all the nonsense that comes with Draymond Green.
Yeah, see,
you can be both.
I couldn't disagree with you more. I didn't hear any of that. All right. That's good, though. I like the debate. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. On our Facebook page, too. Yes, there's a lot of athletes out there that you all would like to put in the we don't care, he's old category. But one, honestly, hadn't even thought of. And duh. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update. Whoops, got a little I don't even know. I got a little forgetful.
I thought it was still coming with me old.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
When I came out, I was really interested in what the kind of landscape was, where Green Bay was at. And obviously, if I wanted to play, you know, what were the options? So it was clear to me at that point that although the Packers were going to say the right thing publicly, that they were ready to move on.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee Show. Gosh, has it been a month ago now since he went in his darkness retreat? I think the darkness retreat was right after... Right after the combine? No. What was going on in football? It was right after that.
I believe I was away when he was in his retreat. No. So that was what? Late February?
Right, but there was a reason. He was waiting for something specific. And I can't remember what it was. And then he went on his darkness retreat after that was done. Was it the Super Bowl? Because you went away right after the Super Bowl, did you not?
It was the Super Bowl, yeah.
Maybe that's it. Okay, so it's been a while, actually. It's been a couple months since the darkness retreat. And when he came out, that interview he did with Pat McAfee, if you want to tell me the date of that interview with Pat McAfee, it was obviously highly anticipated. And he not only talked about the retreat itself, but he also went into the process of what he felt like was a change in philosophy and a change decision, at least... from what the Packers told him, to the point where he got out of the darkness retreat and he said clearly something had changed. March 15th. So this was now over a month ago that we heard from Aaron Rodgers. And it's been a whole lot of silence since then. I don't think it's necessarily on him. He's still a member of the Packers, so there's not a whole lot he can say. And I don't think... that I'm any less confident the trade to the Jets will take place. The Packers don't want him anymore for a variety of reasons, but mostly they need to see what they have with Jordan Love. They need to see what they have with Jordan Love because this is the final year of his rookie deal. Are they going to pick up his fifth-year option? Well, not until they know what they have with him. They've got to get him out there, and they've got to see him in actual game reps. And you can't just throw him out in one game and judge him based on one game. But it's crazy. It blows me away, the parallels between Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. Now, we've talked about some of them, the Packers to the Jets being the big one that could potentially happen in a trade, but also the fact that Rodgers wasn't willing to walk away from Green Bay, decided not to retire and kind of left it up to the Packers, and so the Packers had to make the tough decision. But you know what else? In 2008, so 15 years ago, I went on a cruise, the only cruise I've ever been on, with the aunt, who's my godmother, the uncle and his wife, the uncle and aunt who I just saw in Arizona, the four of us went on a cruise to Alaska. And I remember... there was really only closed circuit TV on the ship. There wasn't a whole lot that was available, but every now and then I'd flip on TV and it was three or four channels, a couple of international channels. That was pretty much it. But one of the channels was ESPN. Every single day of our cruise, it was the same headline. There were people camped out in Hattiesburg, Mississippi to see if they could get any indication of Brett Favre's decision. Will he retire? Will he not retire? The entire time, 10 days I was away, the entire time. Now I feel like it's deja vu with Aaron Rodgers. I go on vacation. I'm essentially checked out for almost a week and a half, not quite, but from the morning of April 7th, Friday, April 7th, through what was the afternoon of April 16th, which is when I get home from my vacation. So 9 days, nothing new with Aaron Rodgers. Absolutely nothing. Same story, same questions as Brett Favre.
I don't care, he's old.
I don't care, he's old. I can't believe I didn't think of it. That is the answer that I just saw on Facebook that jogged my memory. Oh my gosh, you dummy. Of course, Aaron Rodgers. Yes, there should be a lot of people out there saying, I don't care. He's old.
Animals.
Eric Mackey, ding, 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 ding. You win the After Hours Award for being the most obvious. No, it should have been an obvious answer. You're the most clever. Boom. I don't care. He's old.
I'm offended.
And here's the funny part. The New York Jets, they actually want, because he's old and they don't know when he's going to retire, the Jets want some assurances from the Packers. They actually want extra compensation if he only plays for another year. That is BS. No way. If I'm the Packers, I tell them to stick it where the sun don't shine.
How could you possibly say that?
It's not the Packers' fault if Aaron Rodgers retires. How is that on the Packers? The Jets know what they're getting. He's old. And they're saying, we don't care if he's old. We don't care if he might retire. The Packers and the Jets and every other team in the league, not to mention everybody on the planet, heard Aaron Rodgers say to Pat McAfee, when I went into the darkness, I was 90% retired. That's what he said. I was 90% retired. So if that's the case, and you're the Jets, and you're still willing to pull the trigger on this trade, how is that on the Packers? Someone, anyone, tell me how it's on the Packers. They know what they're getting. A four-time NFL MVP, a future Hall of Famer, a guy who still carries a chip on his shoulder the size of Chicago, a guy who can be cantankerous, cranky, old. He actually has said it himself about not playing nicely with young receivers. I'm grouchy and old. Why would the Packers have to give the Jets any type of assurances or extra compensation? Matt Ryan's old. Tom Brady was old when he left New England to go to Tampa Bay. Now, that wasn't a trade. That was free agency. But my point is, these teams know what they're getting. The Bucs didn't know if they'd have Brady for more than 1 year. It's not a snowball's chance in Hades that the Packers, if I'm the Packers, that I would be giving up extra compensation or assurances to the Jets because Aaron Rodgers is old. Nah, the Packers should say, I don't care, he's old, and he's yours.
I don't care, he's old.
Take him off our hands. The Jets should be saying, I don't care if he's old. We have a chance to win a Super Bowl this year with Aaron Rodgers. They believe that. Well, don't worry about the future. Worry about the right now, you dodos. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.